Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Stream Team, your number one movie podcast for all things streaming. I'm your host, Keith Evans. With me, as always, Chris Lowry and Cole Miller. And today, a long-awaited, short-awaited, the most exciting movie of 2021, Dune.
We made it.
I had to sacrifice having a real personality for 2 years waiting on this. This is my entire personality. Now I'm on the hunt for something new. I have to be a real person again. Can you believe it? I can't just talk about Dune everywhere I go.
Don't have to be, if we're going to be honest, because you can just watch this. This can be a personality for the rest of the year. I mean, we'll have 2 months. So
that's true. Yeah, I can ride this thing out. Yeah.
You could. Yeah. 2022, though, you're going to have to change it up.
Yeah, I'll find something new. I'll probably, like, I don't know, find things that I enjoy doing. Probably get good at math or something like that. I'll figure it out.
You turn it to Goodwill Hunting. That's
fine. I was going to say Rain Man, but yeah, Goodwill Hunting's better.
Yeah, I feel like we've done this gag before. Have we done this?
Probably.
Maybe. I think so.
We'll go back. That is a good reference, because Rain Man is incredible. It was just 2 hours of Tom Cruise yelling at Dustin Hoffman. And then go, you know,
just what we needed.
Yeah, exactly. If we didn't need anything else, it's Tom Cruise. He didn't run any of that movie, though. So that was a nice change of pace for anybody who hasn't seen Rain Man. He didn't start running until, I guess, later on in his career. But anyway, back to Dune. And our favorite, one of our favorite directors, Denis Villeneuve, guy who, I mean, a movie lover's director, a director's director, a guy who just gets it. And it's very apparent with everything that we see in the movie, everything that he does, his vision, his fingerprints all over this movie. Runtime of 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 36 minutes, want to get exact. It's honestly the shortest 2 hours and 36 minutes I've ever experienced in my life.
I
make some notes and to get some snacks. And I didn't realize I was that deep into the movie, because I was just so I actually had to go back and do a lot of typing, because I was so fixated on the movie that I forgot to make notes for it. So that was fun. But is it even at home or in the theaters, which I haven't had the glorious opportunity to watch it in theaters yet, but does this feel like a 2.5 hour movie at any point?
Not at all.
I mean,
short answer. Yeah.
I will say, like, yes, in the sense of, like, there is just so much that's going on, but in the best possible way, there's a lot to get through. Like, our biggest criticism of the first one was, boy, this is paced like shit. This is awful. You tried to tell us a lot of story in the first 11 minutes. So, like, it does, because you get a full sense of everything. You do get to indulge in a lot. And, like, I know that it was 2.5 hours, but it doesn't feel like it. That doesn't make any sense to – I'm sure that's not going to make any sense. Like, you know it's 2.5 hours because how much, you know, content that you're getting. But, like, man, I agree with you guys. It just doesn't feel like it flies by the time it ended. I was like, I could have sat here for – I could have given you 30, 45 minutes more before I was like, all right, I think I have to pee or something now. Like, I was in for the long haul. So,
it doesn't – part of that – part of that is the fact that there was no ending, right? Like, it was half of a movie. So, well, like,
they did the best they could.
It felt like it should keep going, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of how you felt in the theater. So when you get 2.5 hours in, it's like, oh shit, this movie hasn't even started, you know, but we're like winding down to get ready for the credits.
Yeah. And when Zendaya was like, this is only the beginning, I was literally ready to keep going. Honestly,
yeah, I was like, all right, I guess we have 2 hours left. I don't,
yeah, let's keep
give me more.
Let's do this. Like, I kicked back and I was like, wait, credits, what's going on here? But this was, as great movies do, it was a great storytelling. I think that this it did a really good job. I think the critics, like you said, the pacing was immaculate. And I think that anybody who goes and watches this, you know, from a Rotten Tomatoes score standpoint, you have an 82-91. I think the 91 is extremely spot on, especially for, you know, people who are still not going out to theaters and want to stream this like I did. And I'm still going to go see it in theaters. I think I'd take maybe a random matinee to go see it. But as far as pacing goes and storytelling, we understood what we were getting into. We understood that it had to lay the groundwork, because a lot of people didn't see the 84 movie. And so I think that we had to start from the beginning. It's not like going to see Batman, where you need to have a 3-hour Batman movie because we need his backstory. We don't. We understand what happened to his parents. We understand what he's doing. Let's just get him fighting the Penguin or the Joker or whatever. With this, you needed the background. You needed to really lay the foundation or the house would have been shaky. And it wasn't. I mean, this was a solid foundation and building up was absolutely incredible. So you have this movie come out with a budget of $165 million. So far, we're at $200 million worldwide and counting. So I think for as far as opening weekends go and opening weeks go, this movie is well on its way to doing some really big numbers, and rightfully so. I mean, I think just between the three of us, we have about half of the $220 million probably.
This has been watching three different households by me. So when they put out that 1.9 million households, baby, I'm in there. I'm three of those. I'm three of those.
So this movie was... For me, everything I love in a movie. Great storytelling. The visuals were off the
chart. It did not disappoint at all.
Not at all.
Honestly, like, that's hard to do. I have some criticisms that are not actual, like, criticizing the movie itself, but, like, a movie that we've been long awaiting, a movie we've been wanting to see, one that's been billed as being something special, and it delivered, man. It was like, I was sitting there, and I was just like, fuck, they did it. Like, they did what they said. And there was just no, like, a lot of times you go to a movie and you're like, okay, it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but that was not the case.
Mm-mm. No, not at all. I was thoroughly captivated. I enjoyed it from A to Z. Well, I guess A to what's half of the alphabet, but A to
L.
I'm guessing. Something like that.
Blind ass guess, but it's got to be close.
Whatever the 13th letter is. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're going to be – look, this movie was phenomenal. Did everything I wanted to do. Visually, it was great. And for a movie that I was visually captivated by at home, I know whenever I go to the theater, I'm going to be absolutely mind-blown. And the scene that I think of – and I don't want to jump too far ahead yet, but the scene that I think of as far as visuals go, whenever the attack on Iraq has happened and attacking the kingdom, and then one ship basically shot all the missiles out and just looked like the 4th of July, I know that scene in theaters – IMAX, whatever, is absolutely stunning. So that's a scene. As much as I hated that particular scene, the visuals were off the charts, but it was great. So we have the adaptation, a reboot, whatever you want to call it, from 1984 movie. The cast was sensational. People just wouldn't stop showing up.
Yeah, what in the fuck, man? Yeah.
Turn, you had somebody different. It's like, Jesus Christ, like, what? No wonder the budget was where it was. It's like, people just won't stop showing up. Like, even the Avengers were like, Jesus, like, you had anybody else in this? But it was absolutely, I don't know that I would put anybody else in any of the parts. The costumes were phenomenal. Visuals were great. It's everything. It's literally everything. I will say I am somewhat angry that Oscar Isaac was old enough to be Timothy Chalamet's father in this particular. Yeah. That kind of cooked me a little bit, but going into all the things that we've talked about a lot with a lot of our pods, especially movies that we really, really enjoyed. Cole, when you're checking off all the boxes for a movie, did this miss anything?
So again, this is not a criticism, and I will defend what I'm about to say too. I do wish that it wasn't half of a movie. Now, that being said, if I were in a perfect world, I would have had this be one film, and it would have had a beginning, and it would have had an end, and it would have fit me perfectly. But the thing is, there's no way that could have been done. And that's kind of the point that everybody's missing when the criticism's like, oh, this is, you know, we're doing a two-part and the second part's not made yet. It's like, yes, of course. But the reason that Chris has talked about 15 times now that Dune in 1984 did not work was because the pacing sucked. And there was just too much shit to do to make this movie work in one movie. Like, it's just impossible. And, you know, I will say, you know, I was ready to keep going. I was ready to see this movie through. And that's kind of how I enjoy watching. And, you know, I think that it's 2 years from now when we're going to see this second part of this movie. And that's a major problem. Now, I don't think it's going to matter because I loved it so much. And I think so many people loved it so much. But that being said, I was ready to let the movie finish. Again, you couldn't do it. There was too much shit to talk about. there were too many characters to involve in order to make this a watchable movie. Outside of that, man, it was absolutely perfect. I loved all the acting performances. I loved the visuals. I loved the story building. The sound in the fucking movie theater was unbelievable. Incredible. I mean, it was just like, I couldn't even fathom some of the noises I was hearing, you know, it was that damn good. So, I mean, it was a masterpiece in some ways, you know, like I don't want to get too carried away and I don't want to say it's like the best movie ever made by any means, but it's really, really good.
No, it's awesome. And Chris, we've talked about your perfect movie on the Catch Me If You Can pod. You said that that was your perfect movie. And I know that again, asking you the same question, basically when you're checking off the check boxes, does this movie miss anything for you?
Man, I don't know. Like, I don't think so. I did a lot of stuttering to say no, basically, but I just don't think so. Like, I do feel the same way about getting towards the end and wanting, you know, the rest of the movie and it not being there. And I will be like, yeah, that of course hinges, especially with people like us knowing all the fucking holy war that happens like 5 minutes later, like knowing what comes next. You really want to get to that, especially with the style and the way that this one's made compared to that one. But I guess I maybe don't hold it against it because, as Cole has said, I always hammer the point that it just doesn't work all as one movie. So I don't get as upset by it. Yeah, like I certainly long for it, but I guess I had my expectations set. Like before I went into it, I kind of had an idea of where this would end anyways. So, you know, it just didn't bug me as much, but everything before that was perfect for me. And like you're getting, Nicole, some of the technical stuff, the sound was incredible. I've never heard people walking on sand sound that fucking good before. It's just, it's just walking on sand. Like this is exactly what this sounds like. Like it's perfect. The costumes in this movie.
Off the charts.
They're great. Sand. And like, honestly, I can't confirm this, but they actually looked like they were a lot of the same types of costumes from David Lynch's, right? Mm-hmm. Like there were a lot of things where I was like, damn, that like they might have used the same shit, just made it fit a little better.
Right.
I was joking with my brother and said when Paul showed up on Arrakis and they were yelling to him, calling him, you know, Lasan Al-Ghib, and they think that he's the Chosen. I was like, no, they're asking where he got that fucking suit from. They don't care about him being the Chosen. They're like, where'd you get that blazer, big guy?
Yeah.
Let me get that blazer up off of you.
It wasn't men's warehouse.
No.
The second tenant is like, Brooks Brothers isn't going to cut it.
Right? Yeah, no. Right. Where do you show up with that, you know?
So, yeah. Man, like, it I can't think of anything that it really misses on. Like I said, I understand the frustrations about where it kind of ends it, but I kind of had my expectations built for that. So when it happened, I was just kind of, you know, rolling with the punches, and I just can't think of anything. The performances were incredible. I will say there were a couple performances that kind of beat out some others, and there are some people who I wish maybe had more to do because they were pretty good and they're pretty compelling. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe the closest I come to having like a real gripe. Like, there's some people I was like, wow, they are fucking cooking. Oh, they're dead. Well, all right. Guess cool. We just got to keep it
completely. Glad we went through that. Yeah.
Gromith, then, is that, I mean, that's the guy, right? Like, that is that your guy that you're talking about as far as Jameis? Is it Jameis or Jameis?
Jameis.
Jameis. I can't answer that because that's one of my categories. I can't answer you said. I can't let you know which one.
Oh my gosh. I've got some controversial shit there then.
Oh, well, you don't know which one it is, though. It's not. All right. I can't tell you which one it is, though, because it'll spoil the other one.
It's okay if it is.
Yeah, I was like, it's my
Mr. Mustang. So here's the deal. It actually, we'll get there, but he should actually be the opposite of Mr. Mustang. Like the guy that comes in and just fucks up the movie for 4 minutes. Because like all he does is like ruin the fact that Javier Bardem is like, oh yeah, we got to get out of here before the sun comes up. And then he acts all tough, talks all this shit, and gets fucking killed. Like, fuck, are you kidding me? Like, you went through all that shit just to get knifed in the back?
Yeah, I
was a guy named Paul.
Done. I'm done with that guy.
Oh, yeah. We'll litigate that whenever we get there. But yeah, I will say that was the toughest category was Mr. Mustang. And I came to
conclusion. There was actually a weird amount of people eligible, too.
We'll get there eventually, so buckle up everybody, because we are go ahead and let y'all know, like, hibachi chef style, Chris and Cole are gonna absolutely cook.
It's gonna be a long one. About to be like Jordan and Pippen, baby.
Yeah,
we have a lot to cover.
I'll be Dennis.
So get ready, everybody. Like this is going to be going to blow your socks off, though, honestly. But this and rightfully so. There was a lot of this movie. I enjoyed every bit of this movie. There was one point where I lost interest, and it kept people engaged. For it to be almost 2 hours and 40 minutes, I was engaged the entire time. But you had to be, because the story was so compelling and each character was so compelling. And again, the visuals were stunning. I mean, the Omnichopter
I wanted to talk about those. How fucking cool.
That like was
the fucking wings, dude. That
I think
was
I know
fire.
The name of it, but I don't want to say the wrong name. Let me double check.
Ornichopter or something like that. But it was,
yeah,
I mean,
it was something.
Yeah, it was like a dragonfly, but it was with a motor, right? Like that was the coolest thing.
Ornithopter.
Yeah, the Ornithopter.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was the thing in theaters where
what a word.
Like, the sound of that one, it was like, okay, yep, they did it.
I see
they
what we're this. Doing here.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah, because it like rattled the whole fucking theater, but it sounded, it was awesome.
It was absolutely awesome. And when I saw that, you may not know about this, I'm very captivated by flight of any sort. Helicopters, mm-hmm. airplanes. Anytime I see an airplane, I turn into an 8-year-old boy, and I just stand on the plane because I'm absolutely fascinated by aircraft. And when that thing took off the way it did, I turned into an 8-year-old little boy watching a movie. That was the coolest thing I think I've ever seen in a movie. It was awesome, that particular part. And every time it flew, I just stood there and pointed, like, oh,
it's doing the thing.
Yeah, it's doing it again. You know, it was just the coolest thing ever. But that's how I felt throughout this entire movie. But everybody's, like I said, people just didn't stop showing up in this movie. And I mean, even Bardem, when he showed up, the first he said like 4 lines, and then he was gone. You know what I mean? You didn't see him again.
Yeah, he's barely in the movie.
He spit, and it was just like, but it made me think of Ace Ventura 2 whenever he met the Wachatu or the was it Wachatis? I think that tribe were Chutus. That's what it was. Mm. But, no, it wasn't the Wachutus, the tribe that he fought, because that's when Tommy Davidson bit him. So it was the Wachatis, and they spit, and that was like, that was their way of showing appreciation. So whenever I saw that scene, all I could think about was that. And then Jason Momoa didn't make it any better, because he was talking about, thank you for your gift of hydration or whatever it is he said.
Yeah, just, the moisture from your body
will return it the same way it was given.
Spit.
They're spitting on the table, dude.
Yep.
It's not even their table.
Yeah, I was like, we just gonna leave this right here. Is this how it goes? But yeah, everything was great. And I did like what I was happy with was a lot of the things that were in the original, in the 84 original, came back.
Sure, the did. Shield,
mm-hmm. The shield came back.
They just did them better.
Look good. Look good.
I was so excited to see the shield and the way they were. And it's actually really cool, because you can see, especially whenever you had Paul and Gurney practicing in the beginning, and you can kind of see the death strokes, and wherever it turned red, you saw that there was like a kill shot.
Yeah,
or
they did a good job.
Somebody was majorly injured. Really, the shields were incredible. There's several things that were there was a shout back. Of course, the hand in the box. You had the what I call the little hunter seeker. We had the spy who had gotten into the building, and he was in the walls for weeks waiting on the royal.
What a badass!
Yeah, he died in the walls. It's like, you don't, if there's the definition of martyr, that is right there. Like, if you that's complete effort. But is there anything that came back? And we knew that there were going to be a lot of things. I mean, look, we knew Danny B wasn't going to try to recreate the wheel, reinvent the wheel. He was just going to put his spin on this thing.
He was
going to
make it better. Yeah.
Right.
And of course, you know, you're talking about this many years later, you know, almost 40 years later. And of course, all the technical advances are going to make it that much better. But was there something that he brought back that y'all were genuinely excited to see come back? For me, it was the shield and the massive improvement for them. Was there something that there was a shout back to the original that you really enjoyed that was brought back and done well?
Mine definitely was saving the guys from the spice rig.
Yeah.
I thought that scene probably could have been left out, but I'm glad they didn't, because that was the part that I think visually was the most impressive of the movie, or close to it. I love the wide shots of the desert. I love the worm, like the anticipation of the, you know, sand just kicking up. I loved all seven, you know, everybody's running to try to get on the thing, but there's the spice storm going on. That scene was just fucking awesome. And I think it probably could have been left out, but I'm so glad it was not. And it was the one I was like, you know, in Dune 1984, it really wasn't that bad. It was pretty good. But this was just so, so much better.
Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I agree on that. I guess I didn't even think at that point, but yeah, the scene of saving all the people that are out there doing the spice mining could have probably been left out, and he kind of took it and added some stuff to it. And it was great. Like, not just because of the technicality, but just kind of the way that he worked. And I do like how it shows Duke Leto's, like, his humanity, how he's like, man, to the hell with the spice. Can we save these people? So like,
Oscar Isaac was awesome in that
scene. He was incredible.
That scene specifically, like, there was the humility, but he also was just this badass pilot, because, mm-hmm. you know, he had alluded earlier that he wanted to be a pilot. This was just him doing his shit, man. I love that mm-hmm. scene.
So that one for me.
Bill Pullman from Independence Day, right? Where he just jumped in the, fighter jet. And he was Go ahead,
Chris. I don't want to step on, I hope this isn't anyone's best scene or anything, but the Gom Jabbar, the hand in the box thing in this, it was awesome. It was incredible. Thank God. I could be a little biased because I watched Denny's breakdown of it, and that just made me appreciate it even more. Cole, I won't even start talking about that video, because me and you will talk about that video for like an hour. So I will I will spare your editing hands, but I thought that scene was incredible. The lighting there was cool. So the set design, I do kind of have to get into a little bit. The fact that they have old world, it's in a library. It's in the year 10191, and not 10191 relative to now. It's like 10191 relative to like when Spice came. So this is probably like millions and millions of years in the future. And the room that they're in, there's no computers. There's nothing analog. It's just books. It's dark. It's damp. It's in a library. Just the framing of it, the way that it goes, it doesn't get as goofy as showing all the, you know, like his hand burning and all melting these other things going on.
Yeah, I thought that was a good move.
The way that she used the voice, I thought the voice, the weirding way in this is, it's haunting and it's incredible. I liked it in the first one, but the way that it works in this, and there's like almost the delay and them speaking, it's like that just kind of, I don't know, the sound, your ears are just popping, and then you hear, like, everything about the way that Denny did that scene just had me going, is this the greatest director of all time or something? This is phenomenal, dude.
So good, yeah.
It's great.
And the like most
in that
of
scene
it,
too. Shit, I last thing, the performances in that scene, Jesus. When he was acting like he was in pain, I was starting to like wince up, and you didn't even see what was going on, just like his reactions to the pain. Like, you know those, and you have that like little tiny nagging pain if you're getting a shot or something, you just kind of lightly tense up, just like, oh, ow. And like he just starts off to that and then progress to like full on screaming. Like I said, I'm tensing up and it's not showing you anything. It's just him sitting there screaming and just imagine what he's going through and you're kind of experiencing it with him. And man, that was just a scene that I was glad that came back and it was just done in a very phenomenal way.
Well, and then you had Lady Jessica outside too, and she was reacting as well. And so you just knew how painful it was, and she knew how painful it was for him. Mm-hmm. And that she couldn't help him, and she was just hoping, because Chris, like you said, whenever you're in a situation like that, your natural instinct is just pull your hand out, right? Like
if you put the box.
Searing pain or a jabbing pain or stabbing pain, whatever, your first instinct is to pull your hand out. So she was just hoping and praying that he didn't do that, because, well, he's gonna get killed instantly. But that scene did have a ton of foreshadowing in it. You know, talked about him having, she said, you inherit a lot of power because you're Jessica's son. You have more than one birthright. So all these things you can see kind of like the what was coming from him as far as his, you know, showing his strength. Yeah, there was just so many technical and visual and sound aspects of this movie that were just great. I mean, we hadn't even talked about Hans yet, and every scene, how it was just beautifully scored. And it was perfect. Like I said, I told her earlier that about that past day and a half, I've been listening to the soundtrack just as motivation for this pod. Honestly, it was absolutely incredible. But from a technical aspect, I mean, the detail that went to the whole movie, but of course, every scene and the just the thumbprint that you see from Denny V, like could visually or sound wise or anything else, do you think this could have got any better, Cole, as far as any of those aspects? Or do you think, I mean, is it because a lot of times, you know, we talk about practical effects, and again, go back to the alien pile, we were really big into that because a lot of the were aliens themselves and just like a green screen or something like this. I mean, this is going to hold up for a long time, right?
Yeah. Man, I don't think it gets much better than this, right? Like I was kind of racking my brain about like movies that visually have like just totally stunned me. And the one that came to mind, Dunkirk, was one that just like blew me away. But this is so much different because it's not a realistic world. Like they had to build a world in order to do something like this. And It wasn't, obviously there was plenty of CGI and things like that, but it didn't feel overly CGI'd, right? Like all of the things in it felt as if they were built that way. Like the worm was a real thing. Like the grasshopper helicopters, you know, were like real things. You know what I mean? Like if you told me that $160 million was made to build these fucking helicopters, I'd believe it, right? Like, so it was so beautifully done. And you know, I think that, you know, the sound will probably get swept under the table because everything looks so pretty, but man, I like, again, it was just blew my mind how good everything sounded and how in, you know, like how perfectly placed all the sounds were. Of course the soundtrack, of course the score, all of that, but just everything just meshed extremely well. And I mean, man, if it gets better than that, I don't know that my brain can comprehend it.
I think anything better is just real life, right? Like it's actually stepping in sand.
I mean, that shit's better in real life, right? Like,
right.
I've never seen anything that beautiful, like in real life.
Seen Arrakis?
I saw the Grand Canyon and like it was cool, but the fucking worm was way cooler than the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, way cooler. But of course, the Grand Canyon was also built by
that's
the
right,
Pilgrims.
The Pilgrims, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's something we haven't touched on yet. And Chris, I know this is going to be right in your wheelhouse. I'm just going to throw a fastball just down and in at the knees for you. But
camera work,
and in particular, camera work in that first battle scene where the both sides were just converging on each other. But it wasn't just a shot down the line, right? Like in 300 or something where it's just down the line and you see all the carnage where they just kind of run into each other. It was shot from when the missile or the bomb was dropped from the ship in the air, and as it came down, then you saw all the troops on each other.
Yeah,
that fucking cooked me, dude. I think actually that's one of the parts where I just paused it because I was like, what? You know, because that shot is literally, you can just tell it's just like you just have that camera running down, it's just being pulled backwards down the line, and everybody's converging in the middle, which is still good, like in a Braveheart sense or whatever. But you have the missile coming down and you have all the things going on in the background, and then boom, you see the fight on the ground. Chris, as far as camera work goes, what rating do you give that, just on a scale of 10 real quick?
It's a 10 out of 10, dude. Like
11?
The most boring looking shot to me is still incredible. The only shot in this, I'm just like, that's probably just fine, is not to skip ahead when Duncan is fighting in that the hallway when he finally dies. And that's because it's just so straight up. It's almost like he's underneath a spotlight. Now that I'm sitting here talking about, I was like, damn it, maybe that is a really cool
shot.
It
is
now.
A good shot,
like,
man.
Now
yeah.
that I'm thinking about it, I was like, fuck, never mind.
It's a good shot, yeah.
I said it out loud. I was like, they just got the light on the ceiling, the hole in the ceiling converging on his dying body as he's in a spotlight or something. I was like, oh, actually, that is pretty fucking good. Excuse me.
There were a couple with the Baron, like when the shots where he was like under the whatever that like regenerative liquid was, and then behind the shield, all of those were really good. But some of the ones where he was like in person, I think it was a little too dark. Like, and I know it was intentionally supposed to be that way and it played really well, but it was like, those are the only ones where I was like, I mean, if there were a little better lighting, this could be a cooler shot, but I know it was done that way specifically to give you that sort of opinion. So it's like, I don't know better than any of those guys, but but that's like literally the only ones I was thinking. It was like, yeah, it's a little darker than I would prefer, but everything else was just like, yep, that's perfect.
No, dude, like it's just great. Like even some of the stuff that they released as promotional footage that you've been seeing for like a year now,
it still blew me away.
Yeah, you see it on like a gigantic screen. You see it and you actually see it in motion in the movie. And you're like, how do they pull off shots like this? Like,
yeah,
this stuff is insane. I'm looking at it now. The scene where he's talking to Jessica after the Bene Gesserit leave, after the Gom Jabbar test, and it's him in like the foggy rain talking to his mom. They're like over the shoulder, and they're like,
"What a great shot!" That's
good looking stuff, dude. Like, that's in 100 movies a year, and it normally just looks fine. But in this movie, it's the same kind of thing, and it's not my Dune bias talking, but it's done so well. It just looks so great. Like, like the lighting and like the
examples,
the space and everything. I'm just looking on the screen now, and everything that pops up, I'm just like, this is just a normal thing, but just the way that it's crafted. Every time they showed that fucking bull on the wall and like the color, it was like a different color, and the way it was shot, the way it was lined up, and it was like symbolic relative to, I'm like, it's just a bull's head on the wall, and they just change the color of the room every time, and it just looks like the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, I want to have a steal of every single time with every single color just to have in my house somewhere. I'll never explain what it is. I'm like, yeah, this is the bull in orange, this is it in gray, and this is it in fucking purple.
Just got four bulls.
Yeah. Same bull, different lights.
It's me grabbing the bull by the horns, but that actually happened.
It's a metaphor.
But yeah, so yeah, all the things are great. I mean, like you said, Chris, that's quite possibly the most beautiful rain I've ever seen in my life. You know what I mean? Like the light, just enough light coming off of it in that scene, just enough to see, was great. And Cole, going back to the scene where you're talking about the Baron, where it was just dark enough. I did, and I know what you're saying. You got why I was doing that, but I really enjoyed it because it made him even more mysterious. It made him even scarier because he couldn't fully see him, you know, and he was just in that water. I didn't even realize who the fucking actor was who was playing him.
Yeah.
Everything was great.
Who is playing this guy? I was like, is that Gary Oldman? I was like, what's going on here? Like, who was playing it? And then I saw it, and I was like, Jesus, I never would have guessed that was him. You know, but just to see the actor like that, would to see the character like that, and just to see him as mysterious, and him, I mean, look, him actually floating in the air for the first time, that was awesome, and that's something we made fun of.
Dude, I was just going to say.
He levitated just enough to make it scary as shit, you know what I mean? Like, it was great. He wasn't salting through the air. It was absolutely phenomenal. Go ahead, Chris. What were you going to say about
I was going to say, when we originally brought up, can we just talk about how much better the Baron is in this one than he was in the other one? I know, like, it's
disagree. Different bring take the Baron on him. Back.
Make him goofy. Bring back the goofy Baron. Make him goofy.
Bring back, man, he had things plugged into his nipples. I didn't see Stellan Skarsgård's nipples at all.
Bring him back. You want your team goofy Baron? My bad.
That's it.
Didn't know that's how you got down, brother.
Yeah. I don't look. Obviously, he's joking, but what is
no, so? Not yet.
I think he does actually like the original Baron, but I it is funny that you talk about Jameis being the guy who comes along and fucks everything up. So we're not. Dr. Wellington isn't the guy who comes along and fucks everything up.
Just, of course, he is too. Of course, he is too. But
It's great because then you just see how much has gone into trying to topple this royalty, right? Topple this empire. And we think that it's just one or two people. And I know this thing is going to go way deeper. And that's what's exciting. Again, it's a story being told and it's unfolding in front of us. And the scenes like we're talking about that we saw in trailers and here recently, especially like No Time to Die and other movies that were greatly anticipated. We've really tried to avoid trailers, especially as we get closer to the movie. But shots that we had seen before, we were so wrapped into the movie that we had forgotten about because we were just so into whatever scene that we were seeing and all that. So for something to come up as like seeing it for the first time, and I know being on the big screen or being at home or whatever, it is really seeing it for the first time in the proper context. But when you see something like that and all the events that surround it, it makes it that much better. And truly a moviegoer's, this is a movie for the avid moviegoer to go watch and enjoy from the beginning to the end. I do get people being upset at the end because I was strapped in. I was ready. I was ready like for the long haul, but I know that it's just not feasible because this could be, if there was a 6-hour Snyder cut, I'd be like, let's roll. I'm ready.
Give it here.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what it would have been, right? Like, it would have had to have been, if they'd have kept rolling with any sort of pace like they had and made the movie work, it'd have to be a 6-hour movie.
Yeah. And I'm okay,
like, there's no way you can care that much about, like, the couple of fight scenes and then not also, like, the full-on fucking war at the end. Like, I genuinely expect that to be 90 minutes. because, like, I mean, even the smaller fight scene, like the one with Gurney at the beginning, was like a 10-minute fight.
Yeah.
He's jumping over tables. He fought with, like, 4 different weapons.
Right.
And it should have been, but I think you got to showcase the skill like that too. And we just saw a glimpse of what Paul could do. So I think whenever he does fully reach his full potential, is that if that's no, anything less than a 27-minute scene, I'm going to be upset. You know,
because I
want to see the full thing. Like, let's go from the worm to all of it. I want to see everything. I want to see people say his name and all the sand just collapse or something. I don't like it. For all of that, but it is, you know, going into this movie, and I think that, and I know we haven't talked about any categories yet, but I'll just say this: everything that Oscar Isaac has been in the past 10, 12, 15, the greatest performance ever, and he's an actor that I feel like doesn't get talked about a ton, as when people are talking about their favorite actors or some of the best actors that we've seen in the past 10, 20 years, whatever. But he has to be mentioned because
he's so good, man.
He's so good. And it's almost like he's being taken for granted because it's just like, oh, it's Oscar Isaac. We know we're going to get from him. But he deserves his just due. I mean, his performance, I mean, even up until the two, but his performance was – off the charts.
Tooth.
Like, hoping, man. I was like, even though I don't want it to happen, I want it to happen. You know, right. I want this to echo or something. But did he give the best performance in this movie?
I'm going to say no, but I do want to preface that by saying that Oscar Isaac is like one of the great acting talents right now that isn't just a movie star. Like, he's just he could have an unbelievable, like, Broadway career. You know what I mean? Like, the guy is just right. So electric. And even in the one of my favorite scenes the entire movie is when he was talking with Paul about being a leader and taking over, and just like the passion in that scene. It was just like, fuck this guy, man. Like, he is so damn good. And when he was betrayed, like, you felt that betrayal, like, he was fucking lights out. But I'm kind of counting it against him because, like, I expected that. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
He didn't blow the doors off me because I'm always thinking he's going to do something like that.
And that's what kind of I was kind of alluded to whenever you talk about him being kind of taken for granted, because it's like, oh, he just gave us a triple double. He just averaged a triple double for the championship or whatever. He just averaged a triple double to lock up their division, and just like, ho-hum, but it's like, no, that's actually really great to average triple-double.
It's impressive, right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Chris, would you give – so if it's not Oscar Isaac Cole, then who would you give – who would you say gave best performance in the movie?
It's my rent's due, so if I tell you
– I wonder if we have the same one.
I bet we do. I bet we do. We're
maybe. We're on the same wavelength. What if we don't?
If it's not the old Baron, then we're not on the same page.
In the pod. No, I agree with Colder. He was phenomenal. He was lights out. It's what you're expecting. I was real, like, I like seeing people like that work with Denny because I don't want to say he brings stuff out of you, because again, Oscar Isaac is already good. We know how good he is. It's not like Denny made him tap into some hidden potential or some talent, but right. I think
he just has the talent.
Yeah. Like he led him in a way and gave him some scenes to really just, you know, I think he let him showcase that more than he was like bringing out. Like, you know, he approached levels that you've seen if you've seen him in things outside of like Star Wars. You just really watch him act. And he gave him the chance to do some of that with some of this dialogue and some of this, like, some of the themes and what he was trying to say, and who he was able to bounce it off of. The scene that you have, that you're saying with him talking to Paul, is, I don't want to skip too far ahead, so That's my best scene. I'll just say it. And then I'll dive into it.
My bad. My bad.
No, no, you're good. No, I was saying I don't want to say it now because I don't want to skip too far ahead. I won't dive into it. But yeah, like that scene is just great. Like he's coming through really, 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 like genuinely in that scene. And he is phenomenal. Josh Brolin is Gurney is like really cool too. Like everyone's just good in this
Josh
movie.
Brolin really, really chews on the scenery. Like he gives it pretty much everything he's got in certain scenes. But like Brolin's one of those guys that it's kind of like Oscar Isaac. It's like he doesn't look like a fucking movie star, so we don't think of him that way. But like that dude fucking he cooks like all the time.
It's hilarious.
He has an effortless stride. He's one of those guys that's like he doesn't look like he's like that, but compared to other people, he is smoking them.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
Go ahead, because I didn't mean to cut you off, Chris. But
no, I know I'm getting long winded. I'm not trying to. I like I said, if I start, I'm never going to shut up, and I hate that about myself. But I just love this movie so much. But like, it's just crazy when he has to like hammer down and give. I don't want to call it the Thanos voice because that's just what he sounds like when he has like when he's got like really really stern or whatever, and he's just really getting like, you know, when he's telling about the Harkonnens and all that.
They're animals.
Just, yeah, whatever like, in it that was. Whole yeah. scene,
savages. That's what he said.
He's like come through is like really aggressive and really strict, and like you even kind of feel like, oh shit, I feel like he's yelling at me.
My bad.
And
then it's just hilarious too lightly.
In real life, like he's not, I think the three of us are all more intense than he is in real life. Like in real life, he is just not that guy. Like I think that the three of us individually could punk him out if we caught him in like a dark alley. He'd probably back down. Not that he's a soft guy or anything, but he just like he is able to effortlessly ramp it up and just play this like strict, brutal, intense guy. And then in real life, he's just like, guys, I took my tooth out. Kind of hurts. And he's like, he's posted on Instagram, like, yeah, my tooth is just gone. Look at this. Like, it's just not there. And I'm like, I thought you were going to be an insane person. I mean, you are an insane person, but like just in a different way. You're not all strangled. You're insane. You're look at this hole in my mouth for about having my tooth insane. So,
Those are two guys who we know are extremely talented and just don't get talked about a ton. But whenever they are, I mean, we can talk about just like we talked about John Turturro when we're just like he's somebody when we talk.
He just pops up and it's great.
I wish the toot was in this.
I thought the same thing. I was wondering. I was like, what if? It's never too. They're still holding another part. It's not too late. The toot is playing fade. He's going to fight Timothy Chalamet.
There
need
we
that
go.
Right
there
now.
Go. Yeah. You know it's just going to be Batista, though, right? Like, that's the guy that's going to fight Chalamet.
Yeah, no, they're probably going to get rid of fade, maybe. But they shouldn't, because,
he's just the replacement, right? Like, it's going to be Batista. Like, you don't put Batista in this movie and not have him fight Timothy Chalamet. He was barely in the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
he was
barely the guy. That's the
guy. And that's a Denny V movie.
He fought Ryan Gosling, though.
Yeah.
That's like how the movie started.
You don't put him in the movie if he's not going to fight somebody. Like, he fights Bond. He fights, you know, I mean, like, he's got to fight everybody in relevant.
I reckon Jessica could take him. I think Jessica gets him. Slap on a little crease in his forehead.
He could take me.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting fight, I think.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you want to take it to alligator. I don't know. The weirding way might get you kind of twisted. That might not be the one. She might not be the AFH award winner.
And this one, you don't think so?
I don't know if I want to mess with those weirding women, man. I don't know about that
fair.
One.
That's fair. Yeah.
Don't want her using the voice on me.
Yeah. Hey, you doing some weird shit. It's like, yeah.
We won't get too off the rails, but yeah.
No, we can't. It's tough to with. I know us, we're very capable of, but it's very difficult to do such. I mean, we've gone this long, we hadn't even touched a category. Well, we've alluded to some categories. We hadn't even gotten to our categories yet.
It's just a great movie, man. Like, we haven't even got to the categories. We're just talking. We're just shooting the shit about this movie.
Fuck it.
It's awesome. Honestly, so captivating. That it's hard to, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to not really dive into the movie before you do anything else. And that's fine. You know what I mean? It's like, I do enjoy my meal before I eat my dessert. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we're going to eat the meal first and we're going to get to the dessert. So that's what we're going to do.
Dessert, but yeah.
We're definitely enjoying our meal. I know Cole, earlier you had a gnarly pepperoni pizza. So I know that's how.
Fuck.
This episode is going to be all dessert. instead of all snout. This episode is all dessert.
All dessert.
Instead of all snout.
That actually is probably true. Yeah.
And eat tiramisu for the next 2.5 hours. That's it.
Damn, that sounds dope. That's what we should have done. God damn it.
I'm down for that. I'll go get something from Noodle Bowl real quick. We can make it happen.
Let's do it. Noodle Bowl has banging tiramisu? What the fuck?
Hey, man. Noodle Bowl got it all. What did you guys think of the weird spider person thing when the Reverend Mother went to talk to the bear and she's like, get your pet out of here.
I don't understand it at all. If that's what you're asking me, like, I don't have a fucking clue what was going on there. I've seen it three times now, and I still don't know what the point of that was.
I don't know if it's like a person or if it's like just like a weird big spider.
But he said it doesn't weird animal, right?
Gotta be. But she said it like it doesn't understand. I guess it's the voice, so anything can be compelled by the voice.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
It's just weird. It just kind of pops up. That's why tensed up. He's just there, I think, drinking water. He has like a butthole face. And it just it's
like a bowl.
That one was confused. I mean, I guess like bringing back the pug was too much to ask, you know?
So yeah, give us the spider. Yeah, no pug. We got a giant spider though. A sacrifice had to be made. We should have had the pug instead.
I think the pug, if the pug doesn't come back in 2023, I'd be pretty upset. I'm not gonna lie to you. So
yeah,
whatever we have to do to make the pug happen, let's do that for sure. But we'll
start a campaign.
Yeah, I'm down for sure. Let's fund the pug. Or
part two pug. Hashtag part two pug.
Yeah. Pug. Started right now. But I will say, so there's a lot of fights. There is a lot of teams of people, groups of people, groups of assassins or whatever that we've seen, or an assassin we've seen that have been really difficult to handle. Starter Carr might have been the most difficult, but some of the best fighters I've seen. And it's a disciplined group that, because you know, it's like, okay, you see them and it's like, oh, well, they talk all their shit, but then whenever they get into the fight, like, you know, one group of guys, and even I know Duncan Idaho alluded to them being some of the best fighters. No, he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about
The Fremen.
The Fremen, yeah.
But he did say when you cross a sword with one, you know. So he obviously was using a lot of hyperbole in order to
say
they were badasses.
That group was actually, I was like, okay, these guys, they mean business. I think as far as the united group front, I think the only group that could take them down maybe potentially would be the Spartans from 300, maybe. And I think that'd still be a really good fight, though. But that group of guys was awesome, honestly. I mean, it was like, okay, I see now why they were recruited to come in here and try to topple this empire. But
fuck some shit up.
Yeah,
they got right to it.
Yeah,
they got right to it.
Well, they said when they had the guys, you know, they were fighting the group, the first group that came in, and then they just come sliding down quietly. And they're just like, okay, now I see what's going to happen. They had them cornered and all that. But this, so you know, I will attempt to dive into our categories before we just go too far down the road without jumping into it. But as far as them coming in and fighting, I was legitimately like, nobody's going to beat them. Now, I didn't even think Duncan Idaho could beat them, but he took down four or five of them.
40 of them.
Right. Like, with an open stab wound.
Yeah, maybe I was mistaken, but then it's Jason Momoa, so of course he's going to take down that many people first. But he was in my laugh out loud scene, and we alluded to it earlier, talking about the gift of your body's
motion. It's a spitting scene, yeah.
Yeah.
That shit put me in fucking stitches, bro. I was laughing out loud in the theater, and other people didn't think it was as funny as I did. And I was like, fuck y'all, this is hilarious. Like, he just spits on the table. Gurney almost cuts his fucking head off. Like, and then it was just like meant to be nice, you know? And like, and Momoa just played it perfect. He was like, we take it. You know, he was like, everybody calm down for a second. He was being a gentleman, but that's how they do it. They spit on the table.
He thanked them for the gift of their body's moisture. Then he spit on, dude, I lost it on that scene. Mainly because it made me think of Ace Ventura immediately, but just him thanking Javier Bardem for his gift of moisture, I was like, Jesus Christ, is this what we're doing right now, dude?
Was this better spitting than 1984 where he spits on her face? Which one did you like better?
No, that was a memory that I locked away again.
Definitely 84 was way better. I was way more disgusted by that one. And it just, it's
it all right, fair enough. It sat on her eye for like 4 minutes.
Yeah, dude, like, they like held the shot and everything. Like, good, get it, let it cake in.
Yeah, that was really,
she wanted to die.
That particular shot. And it was, so that was probably actual, well, not probably, in 84, that was actual saliva. That wasn't like,
oh, they quick spit hit for sure.
Yeah, that was spit in their face. No, thank you. I'm good on that. Can we get a stunt double in for this one? Because I'm not going to have it on my face.
You got a double. Face. Doubles are like, nah, I'm out. Like, can I jump off this building or something?
You got a CGI in that. Like, see, look, that spit could have been digital for all we know, Chris. Yeah.
I knew, CGI. Just do that.
CGI, Loogie.
Right. But yeah, that scene did it cracked me up because it was like, of all the icebreakers, like that was the one, because Javier Bardem was like, okay, cool, I'm gonna go ahead and get out of here then real quick. If this how we're gonna
Well, think about the fucking star power in that room. Jesus. Like, you had three like top talent actors spit on a table in one scene. Like, and then also Josh Brolin was there. Like, it was wild, man.
Yeah, that was
funny crazy. Enough.
What again, a weird use we are of all that
at
talent.
That part. I am at that exact part. Gurney did, in fact, almost slice his head clean. He the fuck almost off.
Cuts his head off. Yeah. Gurney's like, oh, he's dead. He's fucking dead. Like, that's where Brolin was.
This could be anything. This could be acid spit. Kill him.
Yeah, anything right there. Goes to the table right now. But they didn't play any games, though, and they shouldn't have. Like, that's the kind of security I would want if I ever got to be in a point in life where I need a security around me to go in public. That's what I want. At a moment's notice, everybody has their hands on their weapons and they're drawn. So let's go. But, you know, we've talked ad nauseum already about performances in this movie and people that we enjoy.
Was that your LOL scene, Chris? I think I might have.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's still my LOL scene. The spitting is funny. I think my favorite part is like after they talk about like, you know, like what can we do to work there? It's like, you can come out here and get your spice, but don't come look for my people. And when you're done, go back to your side of the wall. And Duke Leto goes in this long thing, like, as long as I'm here, you will never be hunted. The sands will be yours. You will have our ultimate protection. We will not violate your ways. And then Stilgar sits there and goes, honorable. I must go. That's all I have to say to you. And he just
leaves. I must go.
He's like, all right, just cool. Leave. That's all I have to say to you.
Yeah.
Like, that was my part. People laughed at the spit. I think we had like a good audience like reacting to the spit, but when he did that and he legit just leaves, like, I was laughing harder than anyone else. I'm like, this is fun. It's the line read. It's the way he does it. It's the way that he straight up does leave. It's not like a, yeah, sure, whatever, I must leave. He's like, all right, well, sounds like we're on the same page. Goodbye. Yeah,
honorable. I must go.
I'm going back underground now. That part took me out, dude.
Yeah, that was absolutely hilarious. But yeah, we talked about everybody's performances and how well we enjoyed everybody in this movie. But for rents due, which is tough, this is one, it was like, yeah, if you give it to everybody, I get it, because everybody brought it in every scene. I think that this is my most difficult, but I do feel like in all the scenes, I mean, this guy, he dialed it up every scene, but I feel like this, he also does it in all the movies he's in. But Batista, rent was due for him. I mean, he wasn't four lines into the movie and he's yelling at his uncle for them having left.
Screaming.
His uncle, who was in a bath or whatever, you know, it's like, I'm going to relax in this bath, and you come in and you're yelling at me.
Yeah, right.
But there's a larger plan at play right here. Just let it play out. Don't come in here yelling at me. I get all my servants in here and I'm taking a bath and this is what you do. But yeah, he was Batista. I mean, again, this is how he is in a lot of roles. But that scene really solidified it for me when it was just like, and we've left them. I mean, he was like,
he was going crazy.
Plus, if he'd have just waited, they'd have told him the plan.
Right, yeah. All he had to do was wait 4 minutes and he would have gotten all that was going on. But yeah, he cooked for sure. He was my rent due. Cole, what about you? Who was rent due for?
Oh, man. It's Jason Momoa.
That's my second. Okay, I'll explain why, though.
Absolutely blown away by him in this movie. Like, he was my favorite part of the movie. I just fucking loved how much of a badass he was, but also like this tender, sweet character. Like I haven't
just seen some
Aquaman.
Guy.
I haven't seen Aquaman. I haven't, you know, I don't have like a very big relationship with Game of Thrones. So I don't have like this kind of draw to Jason Momoa besides like just being this big, giant, beautiful man. But like the way he was in this movie, like completely changed how I feel. But like, I was like, this guy won this movie. Like he was my favorite part. And also like, there were scenes where he needed to be a good actor and he was able to do it. And I wasn't sure that he could do that. But as far as like a physicality, like I believed every bit of it. I believed that he could kill everybody, kill 19 people, pull a sword out of his chest and kill more people. I believe that he could live in the desert for 2 weeks with the Fremen and not fucking die. I believe that he loved Timothy Chalamet's character. Like everything was so viable and I'm getting worked up, but he was just fucking awesome in this. So that's my guy.
He was awesome. And that's why I really didn't like him in this role too, because a lot of times, and if you see Aquaman, I feel like, for me, and Chris, maybe you can kind of back me up on this, you know, agree or disagree, but I feel like a lot of his lines were just one-liners, right? I mean, I know there was a couple where he did just rattle off a couple lines, but it was almost like just
in Aquaman or
this? Yeah, Aquaman.
Aquaman, he's doing a lot of cool guy one-liners. There's right. Like guitarist playing behind him at one point. I'm not even joking. There's like, yes. You think you watch like an 80s porno, they have just guitarists. Wailing behind him.
So the first line in the movie, remember when he
got permission to come aboard?
Yeah, it was like, and then the guitar kicks in. So that was kind of it. That was his character, was him coming in and just delivering one-liners. And so for him to come in and like go back to Cole's point, I believe it. You know, he genuinely acted. He brought different aspects of his talent to this movie, and it wasn't just like the big brute, tall, handsome guy. It was like he said, he did care for Paul, and he did live in the desert, and he did fight off some of the best fighters in the galaxy. So, and to take a what should have been a fatal blow and kept going. So, yeah, I do agree with that. Chris, what about you? Who was Rent Dude for?
I don't want to do multiple. So, Jason Momoa was high on mine. I think he's probably
so. I didn't second. Change your mind, huh? I didn't. I thought
you didn't my change my mind. He's my second there. Because he's incredible. I do love him. And it's like the way that he comes off, like you said, like he comes off as this likable, lovable guy that does really care about Paul. Like they are really good friends, and it's viable. You know what I mean? Like it's not him hamming it up trying to play a guy like that. And I think again because he can just naturally get to that. He's just a dude. He's a dude's dude. And in this scene, there are a couple moments where Danny Villeneuve was like, hey, just be a dude's dude real quick. And he's like, do that. Yeah. Perfect. That's actually what I was going to do anyway. And he's phenomenal. Like he is probably the most compelling and my most enjoyable character is what I want to say. He's probably my favorite character. I can definitely say that. Like I don't have anything against it. He's probably my favorite character in the movie. I love him. When he's on the screen, he has the biggest draw to me. If I had to say someone who was just going electric, crazy.
Every scene he's in, he just pulls the power to himself.
I'm glad he like survived. I guess there's a difference in the pacing and the extended runtime. I'm glad he survived longer in this one than he did in 84.
I think that's a fatal flaw of 84 is that
they kill off Duncan. Yeah, we didn't get a lot of Duncan.
We didn't get very much Duncan. We didn't get to explore like that relationship. And I don't know if the book does it or they just made it up because they were like, Momoa's charming everybody on the fucking set. Mm-hmm. So they just were like, we need to give him more time. Like, I don't know what happened, but like that was a fatal flaw. The big difference I think is that character just added so much depth that the movie needed. You were right. There were a lot of great acting performances, but there weren't people like him. So sorry. I can keep going.
No. Yeah. No, it's okay. I'm going to wrap up. Then I'll get to mine, but I was the scene in the hangar when Paul's like, hey, I had a dream. You're going to die. That's a really, really good scene. Like he starts off playing as just like whatever. I'm just a guy being a guy fixing the ship. And then he does kind of have to dial it down. Like, hey dude, I'm going to be okay. And then he turns back up. He's like, look at you put on some muscle. He's like, really?
Put on some muscle? Yeah, no. He was all the comic relief. Dude, all the great. Comic relief in the movie was from him.
But I think my rent's due.
Keith is grinning.
Every word right now.
It's Rebecca Ferguson as Lady Jessica, I thought she went crazy. She electric. Was phenomenal. Yep. She really conveyed that sense of being concerned about him. She had moments where she did seem empowered about the fact that she decided to give birth to a male with Bene Gesserit powers. And then she has moments where she's like, oh my God, I made the biggest mistake in all the universe by giving birth to this man. Like, he's going to die, all because of the fact that I thought I could go against the prophecy and just will the chosen one into existence. Like, she conveys both ends of that spectrum so well. She's crying on command. I don't think she's a better crying on command than Keith. Keith could walk. If Keith would have been at the audition, Rebecca Ferguson would have been probably at the house making fucking pancakes of the film was going on. No, so Keith let her work. Keith decided to let her have a job. Very thanks kind for doing of him, that, but Keith.
Yeah, I had to.
She also somehow when
LSU. No, I just had I said I had to smoothies to make for LSU weekend.
So so you couldn't.
You let her have it. I got you. I guess Rebecca can have it. I'll be busy.
She still was like breathtakingly beautiful, even when she was 4 days in, no makeup, like fucking dried out lips. Like, I mean, they like really made her look like she was living in the fucking desert. And like, I don't know anybody you could put on the screen that would look that good that in a situation like that.
No, she looked incredible. She's just acting her ass off. Like, when she had to really convey like that sense of fear and timidness and like vulnerability, like it really does work.
And I think it's a badass. She was killing every motherfucker too.
When she started using the voice and killed 11 people on that ornithopter,
yeah.
Cut the rope. And I was like, shit, started, I think I'm about like, to cut the rope.
Knife and all the Fremen too. Like, right. She almost killed Bardem.
Yeah, she
did. No, so I think
you're wrong, but it's cool.
Yeah, that's fair. Worth being wrong. Speaking of being wrong, I don't want to get off track, but like, man, the discourse around this movie has been bad. I only want to talk about the good parts, but just like some of the bad discourse, like I want to put to rest really bad. Like, one, when people are like, oh, no, there's no real action. It's all just the story progressing and character development. You mean a fucking plot? You just described a plot.
Yeah. Sorry, it's not Army of the Dead.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So
that just tells me that people didn't do the background work to find out what this is about. Mm-hmm. And two, it just goes to show what people are just used to when it comes to watching movies. People aren't into a movie for a plot. They just want to see action for an hour 45, whatever they want to see, gunfights and fight scenes and all that stuff, and then roll credits. So when it comes to a movie like this that has a ton of dialogue, that only has a handful of fight scenes, I mean, realistically, like the best fight scene was a foreshadowing scene where you saw Timothy, you saw Paul and what he could do when his potential was unlocked. And that wasn't even in this movie, really, because there wasn't a scene. So it just shows that people just, when it comes to a 2-hour and 40-minute movie, people want to see that and not want to see, like Chris said, a plot. And it's like, what do you doing?
Let's just see a good movie. And then if there's some cool action scenes in it, let's do it. Like, like you said, Keith, earlier, the one where the fucking helicopter drops all the rockets and shit and like the, just Gurney basically just being like, yeah, I'm just running to my death and taking the whole crew with him to go fight. Like, it's like, man, fuck you. If you want more action than that, like but like, what are you looking for? Do you want to watch Bourne? Right. Like, go for it. But like, right. I think the whole, this is a boring movie thing is just a fucking cold take. Like, that just doesn't make any sense.
Like, yeah. I said, I don't like telling people that they're wrong for their opinion, but I've told like four of my friends, I'm just like, I'm sorry, you're just objectively wrong. Like, you're wrong. Like, your complaints aren't, like, I just wish I could get people to hear what they're saying. Like, you are just describing a plot. I legit had someone say it's just character development and like getting the story going. And I was like,
yes,
cool. Yeah, cool.
You probably like The Blind Side too,
right? Yeah. Not The Blind Side. They like the
not queen. The slander.
Yeah, they're just really into American Sniper. They were like, the amount of
the baby. That's the best looking baby I've ever seen. Yeah. Have you seen a real baby before? And then like the weirdest one, I think, is some people like, I don't think there's really anything there. It's just all visuals. And like, if you have to see a movie in theaters for it to be good, then it's not that good. I think seeing the movie in theaters enhances it because you can see, I mean, you can just see these insane visuals on a gigantic. Yeah, like you don't have to. Like, I think people are saying, like, you should try if you can because, like, the visuals just look great on a big screen, but it serves well on its own outside of. So that's like not
there was like, only like, honestly, that's one of the things that I came out of the IMAX thinking. I was like, yes, it is so much better to see it in IMAX, but like, this movie is still awesome on my TV.
Yeah, like it's not fine.
It's not even close. Like, it's not like Avatar, or it's not like these movies that you have to see on a big screen to enjoy it all. Like, this is a great movie. And honestly, like, the, you know, there were a couple scenes where it's like, you got to see it on IMAX just because it's like, it'll blow your fucking mind. But like, I mean, there, it wasn't as, I don't think as, as far as my IMAX experience goes, I thought Blade Runner was better. Like from a IMAX visual, you know, perspective, but this movie was fucking awesome on and off of a big screen.
It absolutely was. Like, it was, and I think the only reason why, I think that it comes from when somebody goes to a movie like this in theaters and they get so wrapped up in the visuals that they aren't paying attention to the dialogue, or they aren't paying attention to other things because they are fixated on something else, then that's what, that may be where an opinion like that comes from. But overall, it enhances the entire movie going experience. And for a movie that is as dialogue rich as this, it is great to have visuals like that too, because then you have a great mixture of both and it makes for a great movie. So I didn't, the fight scenes were great, but I knew what should have been happening and what did happen, and it was phenomenal. So,
but also, it's bullshit to think that there were long stretches of this movie that were legitimately carried because of the performances by the actors in the scenes. Yeah. Like, this movie, if you don't have this high quality of list, it doesn't work like this. You know what I mean? Like, there are long stretches of time where just Oscar Isaac is talking to Timothy Chalamet. Like, that isn't fucking, you're going to tell me there's no substance there? Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Some of the stuff with the guy who's playing Dr. Yue, I think
he was fucking awesome.
Yeah, like, if you have a guy that's not even good at doing that, you're just like some of those scenes are really slowed down, and I don't want to say boring, but like, not as much stuff is happening. It really is just a guy checking his vitals. Yeah, and it's like, if you like, it works because it's still good. It's written well, and you have a great performance. And like, it's not boring. It's not anything like that. It's, I don't know, man. Like,
it's the same people that, when they watch a football game and the defenses are good, or like, this sucks. Those are the same people. Right. It's like, no, you just don't understand how life works.
And like, I hate sounding like that guy. Like, I don't want to sound, it's like this high
brow. I want to be that
nose
guy.
Up snobby cinema. Cause I think there's like a lot for the general audience to enjoy with this movie, but it's just like people have been telling themselves like, yeah, I'm hearing it's the new Star Wars. I'm like, stop telling yourself that shit right now. Don't say that sentence in your head ever again, because
it's more like Star Trek.
It's a space political epic. Like, it's not, there's not really like big actiony sword fights. Like, it is a political epic that is setting up for
House of Cards,
Tremors. It's going to be Tremors mixed with House of Cards mixed with 300 in part two. So like, I'm sure you'll like that. But you know, it's like, I don't know. I had to get those demons out. I'm glad you guys are on my side. I knew you would, because we can like appreciate this for like what it is and not have this stupid idea that plot with no laser sword equal bad movie. But oh man, that was make. I was like in arguments with my friends yesterday. I was like, you are wrong, and I actually don't think you should be allowed to speak until you fix yourself. Your speaking privilege should be taken away until you correct. You can't talk about anything. Don't tell your grandmother hello on her deathbed until you change your mind about this. You need to go sit in the corner and get right.
And that's not dramatic at all, I promise. I'm 100% on your side in this particular case. That's absolutely correct in that regard. It's just, we've come to a point where people need that instant gratification. And so it's just like, they want to watch it.
I know y'all are big fans, but I kind of blame Marvel movies for that.
No, I do. I admit,
anything wrong with it, but like Captain America, even the good dialogue scenes are like him fucking people up in an elevator 13 seconds later, you know.
Well, that's what someone compared it to. Like, even like some of the longer Marvel movies, like, do different stuff. Like, but those are completely different movies. Don't compare.
They're made for children too.
Yeah, like, they're made to be exciting in that way. Like, you can't compare Avengers Endgame to Dune, they're not trying to serve the same purpose. And again, very I really like groups. Those movies and I enjoy them, but like I know how to like those movies are those movies. Like, I can't let that bleed into what I watch other stuff do because other stuff does completely different things. And like you said, like they're not bad. Again, I definitely don't think they're bad with how much that I enjoy them.
No, but of course not.
I can admit that like some of that has kind of warped people's thinking, like what these big epics are supposed to do. Because like back then, we used to get big epics that were kind of like this, like, you know, big blockbuster epics that weren't all battle scenes. Like they were story driven, performance driven. I mean, the cinematography and some of the sound design and stuff maybe wasn't the same.
Inception.
Inception, yeah.
Obviously, there were some big action sequences, but it was mostly
it wasn't carried by those the story and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. We need to get back on track.
Yeah. Sorry. We kind of were on track.
We were doing the right thing.
To talk about. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't want to do this. I'm going to have you editing until Friday. There's just so much to talk about. This is just phenomenal, dude. I've been waiting on this since the second I left the theater. I was like, ooh, can't wait to put on that headset and get in that Zoom. Yeah,
because I wanted to text y'all like all of my thoughts. But I can't do that. You know, it's like
my saving grace is that I was driving when you started texting me. I would have been like able to use my hands. Oh, buddy.
I for a minute was like, oh fuck, Chris hated it because he didn't say anything. And it was like 3 hours later, and I was like, I'm like sitting on pins and needles because I had seen it, you know, like 3 days earlier, and I was like, fuck, man, like I've wanted to talk about this, and like this dude doesn't even like it.
You know? I was gonna pretend like I was let down, I was disappointed, and then give him the pod and go absolutely crazy to see what you guys did.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
I couldn't even do it.
I would have been so mad at you, though.
I couldn't think of bad things to say. Is the problem though? Like, fuck, I can't think of any bad thing. I can't make up any bad shit to say. I can't even pretend to not like it.
You'd have probably got kicked off the pod. So
I didn't like the fact that they capitalized the D in Dune. What's up with that? Like, that's what I was reaching for.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to say that's the name of the movie out loud. You know, I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
I did have my chance. I did. I didn't say it though. I had to keep it low when I said it.
Yeah.
But I did let off with that's the name of the movie.
You got to do it. You got to do it sometimes. You got to keep the streak alive. So that's fine. We're not going to judge you in any regard for that. But yeah, so there's a lot of great scenes in this.
A lot.
A lot of great scenes. I mean, the entire movie. So to really hone in on a scene that is going to be the best scene,
it's tough,
really difficult. I managed to pick this one and I enjoyed it a ton. I think there's a ton of symbolism in it, but it was just really great overall. The scene where you have Leto dying, when he's with the Baron and he's laying in that basin or whatever they placed him in, and the Baron has, you know, killed the doctor. And he gets over to him, and you have it's cutting between that scene and then the scene where Paul and Lady Jessica are in that tent and they're unwrapping the things that are in there. And then you have, you know, the final words is here I stay, here I remain. And then he bites a tooth and he poisons the entire, I didn't realize that tooth had that much power, but he poisons the entire room.
It was way cooler.
It was way cooler.
Cause it like, you really were like, oh shit, I'm breathing this.
Oh yeah, like Get Out. It was like that scene in The Rock, dude, where at the beginning of that poison gas, and the guy dropped the one particular container of it. But yeah, that scene having a ton of symbolism is kind of like, you know, you're passing the torch on to Paul after that because he was unwrapping the ring in the tent as well, and so you have that single tear that comes down Oscar Isaac's eye as well was extremely powerful. But yeah, that to me, that scene, the way the music kicks in and it just swells, that scene was awesome for me. Cole, what about you? What was your best scene?
Like every other category so far, it involves Jason Momoa. I like when he saves the day, man. I love that fucking, you know, when he basically hears that something's happening and he goes out the door and he locks the door and it's shutting and he just does the like salute thing. Mm-hmm. And then continues to kill 41 motherfuckers. And like the coolest action sequence of the movie, I feel like, because it's in that tight hallway. A lot of the shots were really cool, like we talked about earlier. And he's just like cutting motherfuckers up, you know, and it's like, I think he's going to keep going. Then he gets stabbed and they start cutting through the wall and it's like, fuck, they're not going to get out of this. And he just screams and pulls the sword out of his chest. and starts killing more motherfuckers until he finally dies. And yeah, that scene was the one that when I rewatched it, I was like, yep, it was just as cool. So that one's definitely my best scene, I think. Or yeah, it is.
A good, I can't argue with
that's good. Yeah,
can't argue with at all. Chris, what about you? What was your best scene?
The scene when they are in the, I guess, the graveyard right after they sign the deal to, and they're going to take over Arrakis before they leave. And it's Duke Leto's already over there at his father's grave. And Paul comes over and they're just kind of walking out. And, you know, he's just giving that kind of talk about responsibility. And I think the line that I really like, he's like, my father said that, you know, great men don't choose to lead, they're called to. And he just kind of has run down like, you know, I didn't want to do this either. I wanted to be a pilot. And he's telling me like, you know, you'll find your own way to it. Just give it time. Not to skip around all the best lines in that, but I love that scene. It's shot beautifully. The costumes that they're wearing, it took me like until the second time of really looking at it, like, oh yeah, they're wearing all black because they're visiting the grave. I was like, wow, they really like all black in this movie. I'm like, oh, they're in the graveyard. Too. Ah, that makes
sense. Like, he had the black leather gloves on that he took off to like show the ring. Like that was just like cool symbolism too. Like that was just a really unique way to do that. Yeah, that scene, it was up there for sure. Because it was just fucking, I mean, it was, again, it was Oscar Isaac just being
acting his ass off, dude. It's so sincere. Like it made me reconsider things about my life. I was like, maybe I need to find my way to something. Shit, give me something that I need to grow into. I need something. Crap. I love that scene. Like I said, it's the cinematography, and that probably isn't my favorite cinematography in the whole movie, but it looks really good. You know, they kind of have the muted setting. It's gray and rainy out, and then the accents of them in all black with like, I thought it was a weird, but it's kind of a cool choice for the coffin and stuff to be more so black than like traditional gray with headstone. Like I thought that looked really cool off the gray background and the lifelessly green grass. Like it looked phenomenal. The score was playing just a little bit, so it didn't like overpower it. There wasn't like the sound design was going crazy because they're just walking, but the performances in that were good. The chemistry between the two of them, they really felt like a father and a son. Like at first, like I don't know if I can look at these two big name actors that are supposed to be father and son and buy, like I might be too taken out of it because I know who these people are. And then that scene happens. I'm like, never mind, I buy it. This he might be his dad in real life.
Yeah, they are hiding, actually be the case.
He's hiding a child.
Not to mention the most magnificent beard on camera in like the past 5 years.
Phenomenal. Like,
what an amazing fucking beard.
And I really thought John David Washington's beard in Tenet was it, but
that's a good call. That is a close second. But
tell us, you got a beard off? Is there a beard off?
That I mean there it can't be. There's no competing against that thing.
Yeah, the product in that beard was off the charts.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Oscars was absolutely incredible. And so the award, the fun, really fun award, Mr. Mustang. And Cole, you're right, there were a lot of people who were eligible for this thing. Mm-hmm. And I had a difficult time narrowing it down, and then it just like it hit me and I knew which one I wanted to have. And initially I had two people, but I won't say them because it may be one of yours, but I gave the Mr. Mustang to the Worm. Worm showed up in like
funny hole and left. You dirty bastard.
Yeah, it's the Worm.
You're absolutely fucking right. You're 100% right. The Worm changed the movie. It's true.
Fuck, it showed up twice and well it was three times. It swallowed the mining machine, and it swallowed,
but you don't barely see it there, so it
just see the teeth.
Yeah,
it shows up and then the thumper knocks it off his path, but it was cool. But I did like how when it showed up and the sand started to sink and all that, like that, there's everything around the Worm showing up was absolutely incredible, and if you see its path and all that, so that's who I gave the Mr. Mustang to, was the Worm. Cole, what about you? Who is Mr. Mustang for?
So I'm about to blow y'all's mind here. It's not my pick, but because y'all will lose your fucking mind, but Zendaya is definitely eligible for this. Like she was in the movie less than 7 minutes. less than 7 minutes. She had one real scene, and there was a bunch of like pictures. Like you see her a little bit, like you don't really see her. Not my choice, but like she's definitely
out. She's eligible, yeah.
I think it's the woman that played the housekeeper. Her name was Shadet Mapes in the movie, but her real name is Golda Rushival. She just like, I mean, she kind of slayed that fucking scene, you know, where she was presenting the knife. She does, she like breaks out in that song, and it was just like, I thought, I didn't know what was happening. And then it like, she just kind of killed that. And I was like, fuck, man, she gave me a lot of energy. You know, she seemed to like, she was, we had seen in 1984, we knew what was going to happen to her, but it had seemed like she seemed like she was going to be a major part of the movie and was very good in that role. So I'm going to say Miss Mustang and give it to her.
Yeah. The scene that she had with Lady Jessica was incredible. I mean, just
was so good.
How tense it was. And you thought, because like going down the line and trying to pick the housekeeper and all that, and Lady Jessica picks her, and then they have that back and forth. But you thought it was like, oh, there's going to be an assassination attempt right here. You know, but yeah, that scene was, no, she was great. I agree with that.
Like, extremely
so. Chris, what about you? Who's your Mr. Mustang?
I'm going to give it to, let me get his, the guy who played Jameis. It was Babs. Lucen Moken.
It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Yeah.
I know you said he was, but it's like we were talking about earlier. He just shows up and just fucks everybody's day up. he just ruins the day.
Yeah.
And like the energy that he's bringing, like he ratchets up, dude. Like he dogged, he was phenomenal in that one scene before a guy named Paul stabbed him to death. He was great. Like he brought this insane energy that really did make you think. I mean, of course, you knew that he didn't want Paul there because he only said it 700 times. But like he was going crazy in a way that I thought he was. I was like, Paul might fucking lose, like, because he had the vision of him dying. I was like, maybe he'll die and then he will come back to life. And then that's how they'll know that he's Maldeeb. I was like, because
like that's why we didn't do part two, because he died. And
yeah, I was like, this is an insane person. You can't beat him. Duncan Idaho is the only person in this movie that can beat him. He's feral. And
you had to bring him back.
I'm still, he's on my screen right now. Yeah. I'm watching your scene where he's murdering everybody right now, though. He's going crazy. He did a lot of spins. Big man like that shouldn't be spinning. My only issue, calls a tornado.
Sneaky athletic.
the 6'6",
he's like 15 guys. Basically, if you took JCVD and Schwarzenegger and made them into one person, it's Jason Momoa.
Right.
But yeah, Babs is, he was.
Yeah. So my pushback on Jameis here is that
he was
not only did he get fucking too good murdered after talking shit, you know, like was talking all this trash and was like, I evoke this. And then like, not only that, he was like, Bardam, you got beat by a woman. Well, you just got fucked up by like a kid and like toyed with him too. Like, you know, kept acting like he was going to fucking kill him. And then he just gets all pissy and then dies anyways. But not to mention the fact that if he would have just kept his shit together, they wouldn't have lost one of the best warriors in the whole fucking army. So he just had to die for no reason. So fuck that guy.
I thought it was
was my pick. That, or before I decided to go with the worm, that was my Mr. Mustang too. So I'm with you, Chris.
You're wrong too. It's the opposite. We're gonna make a new award. Whoever comes in the movie for 4 minutes and ruins it for everybody, and call it the Jameis Winston.
Oh, he said the Jameis.
You are absolutely. That is 100% who this Jameis is. He comes in, he throws 5 touchdowns. But he also throws 5 interceptions, and one of them's a pick 6 to lose a game. That's who this guy is.
All right, so the Jameis Winston Award has been conceived and birthed right here on the Dune Pod. So, yeah, so going forward, we're going to have the Jameis Winston. So everybody get ready. So if, just to give everybody a little bit of context, the Jameis Winston would be, if you were watching Inglourious Basterds, it would be Michael Fassbender's character.
Yes. You want one of these.
He didn't give a German. He ordered 3 glasses of whiskey. So,
yeah, he might have been in the movie too much, but that's close enough. That's close enough, yeah.
Either that, or it's going to be...
It's too specific. The Jameis Winston Award is too specific. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So now we have a new one. So yeah, Mr. Mustang all around. We got that. But I know we're too early for awards. I know that nothing has come out yet. I feel like this thing technically is going to clean up.
Yeah, I get a lot of technical stuff.
I think we'll get a lot of sound mixing, sound editing. We're going to get a lot of cinematography. All that jazz is going to – I think we're going to get pretty clean sweep on that. But on the trivia front, I feel like this is a movie that's going to have a lot of
fun. I also think before we move off of Oscars, I think that its main competition from this year that I've seen so far, I think like from a technical standpoint, is probably the Godzilla versus Kong. I thought that had a lot of really good like sound stuff, a lot of really good visuals, that sort of thing. And then No Time to Die also had really great shit in that same vein. I'm kind of thinking that this might be one of those sneaky top 10 Oscar Best Picture nominations.
I think so too.
I don't know that it necessarily deserves it. Like I haven't seen the other films that are supposed to be the ones that really clean up. But I think it has the potential to sneak in.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, again, this movie is going to have a lot of trivia. I feel like there's going to be a lot of fun facts and tidbits. What did you guys kind of stumble upon? I know, Chris, you were heavily invested in this movie, so I know there's a lot of things that you've heard or seen or found out about some of the scenes, just some of the production of this movie. What all did you guys find on the trivia front?
So I've got one pretty big one, and I'm sure Cole has some more. This one's like a crazy one. It's going to probably make you guys like, well, shit, we felt robbed. So Hans Zimmer is a huge fan of Dune as a book, and he turned down doing the score for Tenet to do this. Yep, sure. That's right. I mean, hey, it paid off because the score is phenomenal. I'm glad he did. And the Tenet score was still pretty good. Even without him, it probably would have been even better somehow. But that's my biggest one. I know.
Did you find anything about why the Deke didn't do this one? Like,
no, I actually was looking at his
IMDb to see what was happening at the same time, and there wasn't. Like the main things was like 1917, but that would have predated this, or I mean, at least been pretty damn close. Like, it feels like that could have worked. And the only thing he has upcoming is another Sam Mendes. So I was actually kind of curious why the Deke didn't do this one.
I didn't see anything. I haven't seen anything specifically about it. No, and like you, I'm wondering what else was out or what else was he doing around this time and the other stuff he finished.
I like researched it, you know, so there wasn't. I mean, maybe he just, you know, didn't. Maybe he didn't like.
Just didn't go with it. Yeah. But it would have worked. I mean, it. I think because Denny has like a certain style of the way he likes to frame stuff and what he likes to approach.
Yeah, they just work together so much.
Yeah, like I would have liked them to be together. It's like this one does still look really good, but I think there might have been some choices that Roger Deakins would have made. Like I would have loved to see what he would have maybe brought to the Gom Jabbar scene. Like I love that scene. I think it looks incredible already. But I'm curious what he would have done, like lighting wise, and if he would have gone with more
hand. The whole shot would have been through the woman's eyeball.
Right.
He'd have got like used the reflection to see fucking Timothy's face.
Wait, that would have been cool though. Like he's
and been like, man, this shit works. Yeah.
Reflection.
Yeah.
So yeah, but no, I didn't see anything specifically about it. It would have been cool though, because I mean, it's hard to compare.
I mean, it was obviously great. I just was right. Curious, like, you know, they worked together on pretty much all of his stuff, right? Like, so I figured he would be in this one, but
maybe right. Maybe he doesn't like Dune. He saw David Lynch do one time. He's like,
I'm gonna take my chances on this one. Yeah, that's reasonable.
That's also fair though. So I don't know if I can blame him for that, but.
Well, Denny did. He wanted to do, or he's wanted to do this for a while, but he wanted to do Arrival and Blade Runner 2049 to get familiar with this genre first, which I think was a great idea. I think this would have been
probably
enjoyable, but
of like this sci-fi films,
right?
And like,
this has been a tough one for him. His first.
It's kind of a bummer, right? Like it. One of the other things about like a two-part is that now we're not going to get
anything else,
you know, and like that's he killed this. So I'm not saying, but like, man, I miss movies like Sicario and movies like Prisoners. Right. And it's like this whole, if these you know, he keeps on this path of these sci-fi films, which he's great at. I'm not saying that, but we're not getting some of these other films, which I think is interesting.
I think he might roll off after Dune. I just feel like Dune is like the one that he's wanted to do and he wanted the experience. I could be wrong. I don't know him personally. I wish I did. But like, I wonder if like after Dune, he gets back to doing the Sicarios and prisons, because, you know, this is his, I don't want to call it his passion project. I'm sure he's got other stuff, but this is something that's close to him. And he just wanted, of course, he wanted those movies to be great in their own right, but he wanted to take some time to get used to this genre and making this kind of stuff work. And I can feel elements of those two movies in this, not just because of the genre, but I mean, I guess it's maybe hard to say because it's directed by the same guy, and like he's going to bleed over because he has such a distinct and unique and powerful style. But like, I do wonder what it would have been like if he wouldn't have done those two first, and what if he had gone straight to Dune? You know what I mean? Like, even right. with the same cast somehow, let's say he just keeps doing more grounded stories. He doesn't do 2049 and Arrival. He just goes right into Dune. What do you think that would have been like?
I mean, Arrival's still a better movie than this, I think, personally. And
I think so too, yeah.
I also like Blade Runner 2049 better than this too. So, like, who knows, you know? Like,
right.
I thought he just fucking slayed on those two movies, so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, only other tidbit I've got, I saw that they originally did offer Sting a role in this.
No,
they did. What? Yeah. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And the character was just removed from the film altogether.
Oh, okay.
So maybe cool. they were actually going to bring him back as the same character.
They decided
to make Batista instead.
Please, please, please bring him back in 2023. That's just my only request.
Yeah, in great. That so, song.
Do you, Do you guys have any kind of, I don't want to say hot takes, but any hot predictions coming from this one going into the 2023 movie as far as what big revelation may happen? I feel like Josh Brolin, I feel like Gurney isn't dead. I feel like he is going to show up in 2023.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so I don't want to spoil from what we talked about, but yeah, I have the same thing.
Yeah. You got to have him, man. You gotta,
like, right. Dude, like some of these names, technically, I don't want to ruin it, but technically Jason Momoa can come back. So Duncan is cloned and he's kind of like the same guy. He doesn't have the same memories, but like his personality rolls over after they clone him and bring him back. So I don't know if they'll go with that. That seems, they might, who knows, but like, that's ambitious. Like in the book that, yeah, I'm wondering
that's,
if they
that's a way it. To win me back, man. I'm telling you.
I don't know that's how I want to say
I'm
it.
I'm about to grow out my man bun again.
we need Duncan back. I have this weird, tiny, I don't want to call it a fear, because I must not fear. I have this like weird thing. I think that part two might be slightly worse and in Spanish. It's slightly worse and in Spanish for some reason. I don't know. I think
the movie might be worse,
but like only like a little. Like I think like if you make people pick between the two, I think people will, despite what they're saying now, I think people might like people like us maybe will like part one a bit more. Not that I think the action's gonna weigh it down or anything. Like I still think it'll be phenomenal and it'll work perfect as a whole. But I think at the end of 2023, when you ask me to pick between the two, I just feel myself like now more, and it doesn't have everything to do with, you know, what we know about the story. Let's just take, for instance, what we know happens after this part from 84 and imagine that as another however long, like
they definitely get too quick at that point, right? Like,
yeah, this, right.
It was about the same amount of time, but then they wrapped the movie up in 15 minutes.
So this movie is longer. I mean? Yeah. Covering half.
So that's the thing. Like, I think that, I would tend to agree with you on that, but I just don't know what all they're going to be able to do in order to make it what is perhaps better, right? Like, because the only one we have to compare off of was 84, and they get to this point of the movie that this Dune is at, and then they just wrap it up in 15-20 minutes.
15 minutes. Yeah. I guess that's been like the subject.
And
now,
that
but
shit
again,
sucked. Yeah.
I guess it's like unfair to say it because they'll have probably another 2 hours to cover that subject matter and they could make it a lot more compelling. I think
I feel like that one's going to be pushing 3 hours.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's do it.
I would neither. Of course, I'm fine with it.
There's no way they could do something shorter and like 2.5 hours.
Right.
Yeah. Like it's going to be pushing three, if not just fully fucking three. It's probably going to be like Magnolia.
I don't know. I'm hoping I'm wrong. It's just a waning thing. And I think it really does have everything to do with how amazing I think this movie is. I think like I think that's going to be bad and it might be more. I just don't know how you top something like this. I think it could be more bad. I just think this movie is phenomenal. So like technology the longer I sit with myself, it will. You think they'll make any like huge glaring changes that'll make these feel very distinct technologically?
Yeah, they'll probably recast Timothy Chalamet.
Okay, you're going insane. I see.
Yeah, it's Tom Holland for some reason.
Right,
Tom Holland is Fade. Do it. Just kidding. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let someone else be Fade. Let me be Fade. Let me punch Batista. Timothy Chalamet.
It's Batista. I'm telling you.
Oh man, I blew my running gag that I was going to have.
Maybe it's John Cena.
It's Fade. I rarely call Timothy Chalamet. I normally say T-Bone Chandelier, or I'll just keep changing it. And I meant to make that a running gag to just keep saying random. I was gonna never say it and see if you guys would join on. Oh, I can't believe I let T-Bone Chandelier is what I've called him that more than I've called him Timothy Chalamet. If I ever meet him in person, I'm gonna have to like rewire my brain to call him his right name and not disrespect him and call him T-Bone Chandelier.
I think he'd like that.
Yeah, in 2 years, whenever we're doing the pod, we'll call him Taco Cabernet or something. Yeah.
I was thinking Tyrannosaurus wine cooler, but yeah, that's cool too.
Yeah, let's go with that. So we'll do it for sure. But yeah. So any other things? I know we went on about this, but look, guys, this is kind of probably you have to go on about.
Everybody's gonna hate me because I'm actually going to edit this into two parts and release them separately. Just kidding.
I am ready, and that the mystery of life isn't a problem to solve, but a journey to experience. Amen. Just like the pod is a journey to experience. So this, everybody, go see this while you can. It's in theaters. It's streaming on HBO Max until November 21st. So watch it. I'm already on my second rewatch, and I'm honestly ready to dive into this again. This movie, I know there's a lot that I missed, and I want to just get back into it and fill in those gaps and make sure that I enjoy this thoroughly. But we're back to my pick. And
yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Go back a little ways, not too far back, but we're going to jump into Transformers, man. It's been a while since we've
something fun. Talk about like great this. CGI.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the best. The best stuff. There's a lot of – we'll dive into that. But, yeah, so we're going to go into Transformers. Your boy, your bae, Michael Bay. You know, somebody – yeah. A whole lot. So
let me get a Michael Bay dune. Let me just see it. Make it. I just want to see it. Make it and just let me have it.
If like James Cameron exec produces like he does Transformers, I'm in.
It'll be cool.
100% in. So
he blows up Duke Leto. The tooth is like actually like it's a hydrogen bomb instead of some gas. Bomb?
Yeah. Damn it. Yeah. He bites down and blows up the whole palace.
Yeah, the whole house is done. Yeah.
Megan Fox is there for some reason.
No, the camera's doing a 360 angle around the whole explosion. Yeah, we're doing the whole thing. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Let's make it happen. But yeah, you guys go check out Dune, of course, HBO Max. Transformers also on HBO Max.
That's three in a row, huh? It was.
We got to cut us a check here pretty soon. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. But for us here at the stream team, Keith Evans, Cole Miller, Chris Lowry, we appreciate it, guys.
The tooth.
What a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I can't believe we missed the tooth.
I can't believe they didn't put the tooth in there.
Yeah. Fuck.
New Dr. UA kills the tooth scene. I'm sorry. He probably does it better.
Yeah.